who were very expert in performing sacrificial rituals and very competent in conquering other kingdoms. Yet, despite their powers, they could not attain the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because those great kings could not even conquer the false consciousness of I am this body and this is my property. Thus, they simply created enmity with the rival kings, fought with them, and died without having discharged life's real mission. Purport. The real mission of life for the conditioned soul is to re-establish the forgotten relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and engage in devotional service so that he may revive Krishna consciousness after giving up the body. One doesn't have to give up his occupation as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, shudra or whatever. In any position, while discharging his prescribed duty, one can develop Krishna consciousness simply by associating with devotees who are representatives of Krishna and who can teach this science. Regretfully, the big politicians and leaders in the material world simply create enmity and are not interested in spiritual advancement. Material advancement may be very pleasing to an ordinary man, but ultimately he is defeated because he identifies himself with the material body and considers everything related to it to be his property. This is ignorance. Actually, nothing belongs to him, not even the body. By one's karma, one gets a particular body, and if he does not utilize his body to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all his activities are frustrated. The real purpose of life is stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Atapum Vya Dvija Shrestha Vanashrama Vibhagashaha Svanushnitasya Dhanamasya Sansidhir Haritoshanam. It really doesn't matter what activity a man engages in, if he can simply satisfy the Supreme Lord, his life is successful. Before starting this course, I would like to offer my most humble respects. Ram Vishnu Padaya Krishna Krishnaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Devi Gaudavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyanti Shatane Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vashadi Gaudavakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Again, the text. Now before reading, I would like to make a point which will help you, the respective audience, in absorbing Bhagavad Katha. It will be quite philosophical. There is a different. There are two types of hearers. One is the passive hearer, and the other the active hearer. The difference is that the passive hearer will just hear the sound vibration, but not reflect about the meaning and not make the work to digest it into his practical and gain energy out of it for his practical life, energy and understanding. And that's a passive hearer. The active hearer will listen to the subject matter, reflect it on his or her own, and think, how can I apply this in my life and do something with it? Now the passive hearer falls asleep after some time because he doesn't relate it to himself. It is not interesting. The active hearer will grow interested in the subject. He might not agree. He might not have thought about all the points which are presented before, but he feels genuinely moved to think about them and then to do something with him, with these points in his life. I would request you to not be a passive audience, but an active one. So this just as a little remark before, now we will dive into the Bhagavatam class. Yadapi tekivha jadino jajvino yevai rajashaya king tu padam mrita shayiram asyam evam ameyam iti krita vairanu bandayam istritya svayam upasam ritanap. Translation: there were many great saintly kings who were very expert in performing sacrificial rituals and very competent in conquering other kingdoms. Yet despite their power, they could not attain the loving service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is because those great kings could not even conquer the false consciousness of I am this body, this is my property. Thus they simply created enmity with the rival kings, fought with them, and died without having discharged life's real mission. This subject matter of creating enmity and then becoming totally absorbed in it and wasting the human form of life is addressed several times in the Bhagavatam. One of these comes in the 7th canto, chapter 8, where Prahlad Maharaj talks to his father. And it is a language which is most unsettling. In former times, small Prahlad says to his father, there were many fools like you who did not conquer the 6 enemies that steal away the wealth of the body. These fools were very proud, thinking, I have conquered all enemies in all the 10 directions. But if a person is victorious over the 6 enemies and is equipoised toward all living entities, for him there are no enemies. Enemies are merely imagined by one in ignorance. It is one of the most important and pertinent instructions in spiritual life to give up this wrong conception of thinking one person is my enemy and the other is my friend. It is interesting to note that a material friendship on a material level will breed enmity. A very good example of this is Adolf Hitler, the German, he loved the Germans and said, they are the only Aryans. He took that Sanskrit word from his contact, his wrong understood contact with spiritual philosophy. So this feeling of these countrymen are my friends created hatred towards others. Srila Prabhupada addresses this point in an early Bhaga, Back to Godhead article, where he says, the frenzy of love creates the frenzy of hate. This is material love or material friendships towards svajana, one's own people and circle of people with, or interest group with whom one identifies, and then thinking from that perspective, this group who is not in my interest, they are my enemies. So friends and enemies vision is a material friendship can be the cause, or often is, of enemy. One has to get off the material platform and practice an equal vision. This comes and again and again. I want to read you another verse from the Bhagavata. It is from Dhruva Maharaj's lamentation. As you remember, Dhruva Maharaj loved, of course, his brother Uttama, and when he was killed, he had such an angry hatred in his stomach that he wanted to annihilate all the yakshas. And Svayambhuva Manu came and said, listen, it was one yaksha who did it. Why annihilate the whole race? And then he gave a very good, all these instructions were very good, but I want to read you this one. Yes, Dhruva Maharaj laments in this verse his situation where he created enemies. Huh? Dhruva Maharaj lamented, I was under the influence of the illusory energy, being ignorant of the actual facts. I was sleeping on her lap. Under a vision of duality, I saw my brother as my enemy, and falsely I lamented within my heart, thinking they are my enemies, these people. So he laments here that in the past he saw his brother as his enemy, and then later he loved him, he became the king, and then he saw the others as enemies, and he said, was a sleep. I was under the influence of a dream by thinking this person is my enemy. Now at this stage I want to read the comment of Prabhupada and then unsettle you all very much. Real knowledge is revealed to a devotee only when he comes to the right conclusion about life by the grace of the Lord. Our creation of friends and enemies within this world is something like dreaming at night. In dreams, we create so many things out of various impressions in the subconscious mind. But all such creations are simply temporary and unreal. In the same way, although apparently we are awake in material life, because we have no information of the soul, the super soul, we create many friends and enemies simply out of imagination. Now, it is Srila Prabhupada's great desire that in this movement, this friend and enemy vision does not appear, because once we see others as our enemies, cooperation stops. The community or the sociology has done a research and said the most common reason for project failure, project fails, is lack of cooperation. I want to read you a few quotations from Srila Prabhupada, how important he stressed the cooperation. Let us try to work together cooperatively. Otherwise, the fighting spirit will ruin our great movement. And he said, we are pushing our movement on the background of a peaceful atmosphere in the world. And if we show a little disturbance in our own camp, that will not be a good example. Therefore, everyone should be forbearing, tolerant, and cooperative. That is my special request to everyone. These three things, forbearing, something is done to us or said about us which is unpleasant or unsettles us, forbearing, tolerant, and cooperative. This is my special request to everyone. However, if one goes on in the dream of fall of material relationships, making camps of friends and enemies, it is not possible to do that. In ancient time, there was a great king, Janaka Maharaj, who is one of the Mahajans. After a day of ruling, Janaka Maharaj felt it was time for cultural entertainment. The best musicians of the countries came and played ragas and veenas for the ragas for the king. At that time, I must say, Janaka Maharaj was not displaying the Mahajan nature. So the king, being tired, fell asleep and his head rested on the shoulder of his beloved queen. Like you can sometimes see in the Bhagavatam class, one Brahmachari's head is on the shoulder of his neighbor. Face is peaceful. And So the queen sent all the musicians out and said, wait outside. When the king is awake again, we will call you back and the concert continues. The light was dimmed. The musicians waited. All of a sudden, they heard a terrible scream. You don't remember there. Anyways, Hare Krishna. They heard a scream. This is sufficient. They ran in and they saw their beloved king with disheveled hair, looking like a trapped animal, chasing through the thing, through the hall. What happened to you, king? The king answered to the question. I only have one question. Is this reality or is that reality? So no one knew what is this and what is that. And couldn't give the answer. After some time, Vishvamitra entered the court, the hall, after 3 days. And Janaka was still so upset, he paid his obeisances and he said, I have one question. Please answer this question to give me peace in mind. Is this reality or that? Vishwamitra said, what do you mean with your question? And what happened on that evening which totally upset you so that you can't rule any longer? Listen to my story, said Janaka. I heard the music. I felt tired. The next thing I knew is I saw my enemy, the king of the enemy king, came into my kingdom. We tried with our army to push him back, but to no avail. He came into the palace. He killed before my eyes my sons and my queen. I ran out of the palace into the forest. I ran and I ran. Finally, after 7 days, I came to a clearing. There was a hunter who had just, a low-born hunter who had just finished his meal and wanted to wash his plate in a waterfall. I said, stop, hunter! I'm hungry. I have not eaten for 7 days. Give me what is left on your plate. I mean, the king never does this, by the way, a very king. And not from a hunter. As my emaciated hand was trying to clutch the food, a crow swooped down from the sky and right before my hand took the plate up, flew away and clawed shamelessly on me. I was desperate. Then all of a sudden I saw people entering into the hall. And now my question is this reality? Meaning the court, the hall, his being the king, or is that reality, meaning the dream? In dreams, it's So Prabhupada says, our creation of friends and enemies within this material world is something like dreaming at night. In dreams we create so many things out of various impressions in the subconscious mind. But all such creations are simply temporary and unreal. In the same way, although apparently we are awake in material life, because we have no information of the soul and the super soul, we create many friends and enemies simply out of imagination. It's a daydream, Vishwamitra answered. You are in a night dream and in a daydream. Doesn't mean that the material world is false, it is temporary and unreal, but only someone who is in Krishna consciousness, who has information of the soul and the super soul, and his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is on the platform of reality. By one's karma, one gets a particular body, I'm reading, and if he does not utilize his body to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all his activities are frustrated. So, this is an important point for consideration. One should give up the material consciousness where one creates friends and enemies. Now, what does this mean? My dear king, Svayambhuva Manu says to Dhruva Maharaj, please therefore turn your attention to the Supreme Person. Face the Supreme Personality of Godhead in your original position. And thus, by self-realization, you will find this material differentiation to be merely flickering. My dear king, just consider what I have just said to you, which will act as medical treatment upon disease. Control your anger, for anger is the foremost enemy on the path of spiritual realization. I wish all good fortune for you. Please follow my instruction. Enemies and friends are a flickering thing, and in spiritual life, this has to be, we cannot allow ourselves to see one devotee as our enemy and another devotee as our friend. It will ruin our spiritual life and it will not be beneficial to the cooperation in this movement. Now, what does it mean to develop an equal vision? It does not mean to embrace a tiger. Sometimes a living entity is acting as a tiger. You can see them in Bengal, big 4 meters, maybe 4 meter long tigers. They are quite large. So Bhag Maharaj, there is this one where the Ganga is there and the Bengali king tiger we have learned at school. He's a real big tiger. 4 meters, maybe a little too long. Very big, big. So it doesn't mean to embrace him. One should keep a careful distance because the tiger is sometimes hungry. And so on and so forth. So therefore, in Krishna consciousness, or on the spiritual platform, we do have something like different. Good. He's a real big tiger. 4 meters may be a little too long. Red big, big. So it doesn't mean to embrace him. One should keep a careful distance because the tiger is sometimes hungry and so on and so forth. So therefore, in Krishna consciousness or on the spiritual platform, we do have something like differentiation, but it is not the differentiation of making camps and fighting, friends and enemies differentiation. Here's a very nice instruction, and I want to read those, to give those of you who are interested to follow this up and read it in your own reading time, the quotation, Canto 4, Chapter 8, Text 34. Every man should act like this. This is that Swayambhuva Manu speaking to Dhruva Maharaj. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate toward him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Isn't it very practical, huh? When one meets a person more qualified, like a devotee, he should be happy, not envious. Oh, he has gained more favor, or he has excelled in some particular area of service, but we should be pleased with him. We should train that, oh, this person has pleased Krishna. When we meet someone less qualified, we should not take to the thumbs down philosophy, but the thumbs up. We should be compassionate towards him, help him. A preacher needs to know this. If a preacher sees the disqualifications of people, how can he preach to them? He has to be compassionate. Similar in the same thing in the association with devotees. And if he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him, not fighting that I want to be better than this person I have. This person, I'm almost equal with this person. Now, if I do something, to come 1 centimeter up over him, this will be my eternal satisfaction in life. This is not really good. In this way, one is never affected by threefold miseries of this material world. Now, at this time, I do remember the countless preachings to devotees. Oh, Maharaj, he did this to me. Oh, Maharaj, he said this about me. Oh, Maharaj, I know he fell down 20 years before. Oh, Maharaj, this is impossible. Oh, the heartlessness of this person is just glorified by the Yamadutas, because they will have a good victim and torture him. And, I remember these cries of woe to the distressed devotees who come for counsel to an older devotee. How to deal with these anxieties which are sometimes created in due to conflicting natures and conflicting opinions? This is a point which is very intense, of course, and I want to offer one very nice helpful advice here. It did help me very much in my life when I felt treated unfair and unjust and had difficulties with a particular individual even. It is a statement by Srila Prabhupada when he says, you should see the serving side of a devotee. To make it more clear, if I look at a glass of water, I can take two attitudes. Oh, it's half empty. I'm so thirsty. If this is half empty, it would not suffice to solve my existential problem of thirst. I can take another attitude. Oh, it's half full. It's half full. This is mercy. Although I'm so thirsty, my dried up throat is screaming. I have half full of things. You understand the difference? I can choose to see things in one side, in one way, and in another way. Every minute I can do. So I can choose to see a devotee in this way or in that way. Just try to see the serving side, and you will immediately feel a different way towards a devotee. And from this different attitude which is there, you will be able to handle a conflict situation in a well-wishing way, and it will go easier. Once the mind goes into a spasm, he is my enemy, the relationship is finished. And nothing can be done any longer. It stops there. And I will stop here. Thank you very much for listening. Please excuse me for sometimes being a little bit too raw to capture the attention. I did speak like this to make sure that you would be with me for this half an hour or so. Do you have any questions to these points?
You're saying that this friend and enemy vision must stop because this leads to a lack of cooperation. And there are three qualities you mentioned that we should learn to develop: forbearing, tolerant, and cooperative. I understand something about tolerance, I understand something about cooperation. We're using these terms so often.
But forbearing is. What is forbearance? Three, this is a quotation from Srila Prabhupada. He said three things, three advices. Therefore, everyone should be forbearing, tolerant, and cooperative. This is my special request. For everyone. What is the forbearance? The example of the tree is given in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishna Das Kaviraj, that even if he is cut, he does not protest but supplies his service. He does. So forbearing means to just go on. And forgive someone in times of hurt. Here I want to raise a very interesting point. This is for the devotees in India who are staying in India. I think it is interesting. I know that for our preachers it will be highly interesting. There are four C's of communication. I'm talking now from the European, you know, we have all these communication seminars and so on. And it's interesting. They give four rules, four C's. Commitment. I'm remembering. Commitment, yes, I have them all. Commitment, confrontation, continuity, is that an English word?
Yeah.
Yes. Continuity and confidentiality. First of all, we should be committed. This is the society of Vaishnavas. It's important. I should give my best. I should not go larifari into it. That's the German word, but I think you understand what it means. I should not be larifari about it. The sound vibration said it. Yeah. Half-hazard or you know, half-heartedly. I should not be a larifari, in other words. I should be committed. This is important. This is the mission of Srila Prabhupada. This movement, it must achieve what Prabhupada wanted it, commitment. Now comes a word which I think we should not use in Vaishnava language. They say confrontation. I think we should translate it into honesty. If there is something, talk about it. Don't harbor these black shades which color your mind black if you have them for a year in your head or a month in your head. Speak about it, but to the proper person. We hear from Bhakti Charu Maharaj in his Vaishnava etiquette course, when there is a higher devotee, so to say, who does something which we perceive as not good, we should not backtalk, but we should go to his higher ups and say, do I perceive it correctly? If so, please, you correct. A devotee who is, you know, their ways, how do you say, a junior devotee, we should compassionately correct him. Not say, you bhakta, you are only two weeks in the movement, you don't even wash your ears in the proper brahminical way, and so on. You know, we don't need to give example. Yeah. Oh yeah, you, yes, can understand that you have to accommodate so many things at once here. I give you a tip in cleanliness. It helps you for overall well-being and good smell, and so on. So, I mean, maybe not like this, but you know. So, honesty, confrontation, that's important in a relationship. To say it, what is there, what is on our, so that's on our heart, I wanted to say. Otherwise, it's not real. It's just formal. Honesty. Continuity. Okay, today I'm not so good with this person, but this is not the cause that we break for once and for all. This is also in marriages very important. We have many grihasthas who have heard when you don't get along, don't divorce. That's unvedic. Continuity. Yes, we go through some troubled waters at the moment, but we shall overcome, no problem. And confidentiality. Don't talk confidential things to the world. They will be misunderstood, and the person who said something confidential to you will lose the faith in you. Oh, you said this, and as a result, see, I have a spear in my back. Which was thrown from somewhere we don't know. Confidentiality. This is important. Four C's of communication. Anyways, this is just, we should not eat undigested communication sociology, I feel. Think about it and digest it. You are critical, analytical people, devotees. Something can be gleaned, but we have our six forms of communication from Rupa Goswami, which say it all, but it might help to understand this Dhati Pratigrinati. I think everyone knows. Good. Hare Krishna, any other question? You, let us see if another devotee is there. Yes, Prabhu, please speak loud to cover the distance. Yes. Let me stay alone, yeah. I didn't make it, and I thank you for your subtle hint. let me repeat the question. And you said the question is that material friendships breed animosity. And there was the example of Adolf Hitler. And in Sanskrit you say, Svajana, this word term means my own people, my interest group. Duryodhana was Prabhupada once said about, not Duryodhana, Dhritarashtra, that he was intelligent. Dhritarashtra. He was not foolish. But he had this one mistake which dragged everything down. He said, Svajana, my sons, they must be the kings. The others, Pandavas, and then he was in the duality. So material friendship breeds material enmity. It's very bad. So this devotee wants me to say something about spiritual friendships. Now, spiritual friendships is something very sacred, and it takes time. Narottamdas Thakur says, Rama Chandra Sangamage Narottamdas. I aspire the association of Ramachandra. A deep friendship in the spiritual sense. Of you, ask yourself, do you have a friend in Krishna consciousness? I once asked my disciple, do you have a friend? Yes, many. Okay. Hypothetically, let us address the following matter. You are on Sankirtan, and somehow you are in a far distant place and you are somehow alone on Sankirtan, you have an accident. Who would come and drive 600 miles? My father would be informed and he would come, he said. What would your friends go? Well, they would continue Sankirtan. Why? Well, because Sankirtan is the order of the spiritual master. Yes. Hare Krishna. I didn't say anything because I don't believe we should chew everything for everyone. Everyone should think on his own. Do you have a friend in Krishna consciousness? When you fail and you fall and you are weak, you do something bad, you err. Err is human. Let me just take you there. I mean, this was totally wrong. You just did, and just come back to your sense and so on. And who says it in a loving mood? Someone to whom you can tell everything. and so on and so forth. I mean, I could go on now and rabble like this and make a whole emotion that everyone thinks, no, I have no friends. I don't want to do this. I don't want to influence the audience. Think on your own about the subject matter. Deep friendships, devotional friendships, require spiritual maturity to be spiritual. And it requires praying. And we do need friends. Otherwise, life is very tough. So now I will say something to please the audience. Yes, all our devotees are our friends. There are no politics in this movement. It is to be seen totally spiritual. Whenever disagreement comes amongst Vaishnavas, Vrindavan Das Thakur says, there's a quotation like this, by the way, Vrindavan Das Thakur. So, are you satisfied with me now? Okay, let's not leave it so open. Actually, there's something very true about this statement. See, why it's sometimes getting so difficult, and why we can hear this, why this question, do I have a friend, can engage our mind for, and we can come in the midlife crisis even by this question, is the following. On one level, on the spiritual level, we are all brothers and sisters, and we all believe it, we all know it, we have it in our genetic codex, and it is true. If we all see on the spiritual platform, there is no problem. But we sometimes, unfortunately, see on the material platform, and then the problem starts. So if we manage at that time to go back to the spiritual platform, like Prabhupada says, see the serving side, then the problems can stop. But do we always manage to see the serving side? We should practice that. And when we do that, spiritual friendships develop very deeply. It's very difficult in a situation where everyone is just on a high speed all the time, doing service and so on and so forth, living an austere life. It's sometimes very difficult because we are all very, very strong natures. We develop a very outstanding strong nature. If there's a strong nature here and there, I mean, no one is equal in this world. There will be some waves, so to say, of disagreement on certain points. It must be, otherwise there wouldn't be strong natures. So if we manage at that time to see the serving side, we are saved, and we are on the platform of friendship. So our devotee who wants to know a glorification of friendships, if I understand you right, yes, all our devotees can be our friends if we learn to associate with each other by seeing the serving side of devotees. Then all the waves can stop. Hare Krishna, it is now an overdrawn time. We know each other well, and you can ask me personally. Please excuse for any strong things which were said. I only had this day left and thought I would make an impression by talking a little forcefully. Excuse the intention, if any soft feelings were hurt, the intention was bonafide and real, well wishing. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Sri Gaurangi ki jai, 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 Gaurangi ki jai